Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. The reason being is because there's so much deception everywhere in the world, but especially in Protestant and Catholic Christianity. And when it's examined carefully, you see that the Catholics do not keep any of the commandments of God, and they have watered down what God requires for one to become a Christian. And that is, as we saw last time, you must repent of sin, and you must be baptized, and you must receive the Holy Spirit of God. And there is no other way. So we'll look at some other places in the book of Acts where there was baptism. Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning here in verse 5. So you see, one of the ways of restoring original Christianity is this. We go to the scriptures of God, we read them, we understand them, and we look at other scriptures which helps us to understand it even more. So first off, you need our booklet, 14 Rules for Bible Study, which will really, really help you, because you see, God gave his whole word. Not just a few little phrases to help us feel nice. And when you really look at it, and look at what Jesus said, the very first thing he said when he was tempted by Satan the devil was this. Man shall not live by bread alone, or that is just food, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now you think on that for just a little bit. That's why we have the whole Bible. And we need the whole Bible so that we can understand what is God doing? What is his purpose? How are people called? How do they become Christian? And how do those who think that they are Christian and are not, how do they change their ways and begin following God? So here in Acts, the 8th chapter, Philip went down to Samaria. And there they had a pagan religion. And there they had a great leader, Simon, who was called the power of God.
He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed,
"This man has the divine power. This man has the great power."
They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic.
But Philip went down there, and let's see what he was doing. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. The multitudes listened intently with one accord to the things spoken by Philip when they heard and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, now there are unclean spirits, demons. There are a lot of them out there today. And there are a lot of these unclean spirits that pretend they're nice, but they're not. So they were being cast out, crying with a loud voice, came out of many of those who had them, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. They had that great joy. God was with them. Profound miracles being done, because this was the beginning of the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip, who was preaching the gospel, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, notice carefully, they were baptized, both men and women. Baptism, as we saw last time, is a command of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to follow Christ, if you're going to teach Jesus Christ, should you not obey his commands? Now think about it. If Jesus, who's our Savior, says, baptize them, and you don't do it, you're rejecting Jesus Christ. Chapter 9. Now we find this all the way through the book of Acts, that there was baptism all along. See, because baptism, as we will see, and we'll come to that in the next segment. But you see, you need to have all of this come to you step by step by step by step so you understand. Why does God have us be baptized? Well, here in Acts 9 is the account of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And he was an enemy of the church, and he was persecuting and hauling people, men and women, off to jail at the behest of the high priest. Then God struck him down on his way to Damascus, made him blind from the bright light that came. And Paul asked the question, who are you? And Jesus answered and said, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Little interesting sidebar. If you're persecuting true Christians, you're persecuting Christ, right? So then he was blind for 3 days. He was taken to a place where he was to lodge at. And God told him that Ananias would be sent. So God, through the Holy Spirit, informed Ananias that he had to go to Saul, for God had chosen him to preach the gospel. And even Ananias was afraid. He said, look, hey, he's been persecuting all these people and even causing them to go to jail and be killed. You want me to go to him? Yes. So he went to him. Verse 17. Ananias went away and came to the house, and after laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me, even Jesus, who appeared to you on the road in which you came, so that you might receive sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember what we saw concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit. You had to be baptized, right? Yes. So let's read on. And it was as if scales immediately fell from his eyes, and he instantly received his sight, and he arose and was baptized. So he was baptized. Now let's look at another case. Let's come to Acts 19, because this is most interesting. And this belies the lie that you don't have to be baptized. Now, it's interesting that it was in the city of Ephesus. So let's look, hold your place in Acts 19, and come to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And let's see the scripture that they use to claim that you don't need to be baptized. And we will see that when we come back to Acts 19, it completely demolishes that lie. So here's how they read it. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let's see how they got the Holy Spirit back in Acts 19. And it was through baptism and the laying on of hands of Paul. So you see, you can't take the word of any minister who gives you a watered-down, partial truth, but leaves out the rest. Remember, if you leave out truth and only give partial truth, you lie. So that's why you need to put all the scriptures together so you don't commit that. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the upper coast and came to Ephesus. And later he wrote the book of Ephesians to them. And when he found certain disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit after you believed?" Now that's an interesting question, because what we read in Ephesians, the first chapter, implies that if you believe and receive, you don't need to be baptized. Right? Wrong. And they said to him, "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he, Paul, said to them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto the baptism of John." Stop and think about that for a minute. As we have seen, Jesus was baptized by John so that all righteousness might be fulfilled, right? But John did not give the Holy Spirit. They were baptized and said, "Believe on him, Jesus Christ, who comes after me," as John said. So Paul explained it to them. Now this is years after John the Baptist. Paul said, "John truly baptized with a baptism unto repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who is coming after him, that is in Jesus Christ." Now notice what happened. Because once you read this, you will know exactly why you can't just read one little section and think that that's all you need to know. Because the Bible is written with truth here and truth there. All of it's true, but different things in different places. So you've got to put it together. So here we find the whole sequence of things that need to be done with baptism to receive the Holy Spirit of God. Because they were baptized once, but had to be baptized again. So let's read it. "And after hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. All the rest who came as a result of Paul's preaching and teaching for 2 years in Ephesus were likewise baptized." Because Paul was following the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now notice the next step. "But when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them." Now, think of that. You have to have hands laid on you to receive the Holy Spirit. "So they spoke with other languages and prophesied." Now, why did they do that? God was showing that the Holy Spirit coming upon them, who were Gentiles, uncircumcised in Asia, that they received the Holy Spirit the same as the Jews did on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter. Very interesting indeed, isn't it, huh? Yes. So, Jesus commanded baptism. We saw that in order for Paul to have his sins forgiven, he had to be baptized. Every place it is, you have to be baptized. Now then, let's come to Colossians, the second chapter. And this begins to give us an idea or beginning understanding of what it means to be baptized and what God does when you are baptized, okay? And how that we need to follow Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, let's pick it up in verse 1 so we can get the whole flow of events. You see, and that's one of the 14 rules of Bible study. You read the verses before and the verses after, so you get the full picture. So verse 1, he says, "Now I want you to understand what great concern I have for you and for those in Laodicea, as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the knowledge of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ." Now that gets into expanding the whole purpose of why God calls people and why they're baptized. Verse 3, "Enumerate head, that is in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, so that no one may deceive you with persuasive speech." Now what kind of persuasive speech is that? That is the teachings of men and philosophy, which sound very important. We'll see that in a minute. "For though I am indeed absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, be walking in him." Now that means following Christ, walking in the way that he walked, understanding the commandments that we need to keep as well. All of that together. Now notice, being rooted and built up in him and being confirmed in the faith exactly as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, why am I going through this? To show that even after people have been baptized, that unless they keep walking in the way of the Lord, deceitful teachings can come and rob them of what they have already done in Christ. Verse 8, "Be on guard so that no one takes you captive through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ." Now that happens. If you are a Protestant, there are church traditions that you have to follow. If you're a Catholic, everything you do is based on Catholic tradition. Now, how did that happen? Because they got entrapped, and it's built up over 2,000 years now. And look at what a mess that is. See? Because they didn't heed what Paul said here. Now notice, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Now listen carefully to these next verses, because this explains what happens when you are baptized, receive the Holy Spirit of God, and how you are to live. "In whom you also have been circumcised with the circumcision not made by hands, and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." What is the circumcision of Christ? He changes your heart. The circumcision of the heart. How does that come about? Verse 12. "Having been buried with him in baptism." You need to be baptized. You need to receive the Holy Spirit of God, "by which you have also been raised with him through the inner workings of God who raised him from the dead." Now notice how he explains that in baptism and circumcision of the heart, your sins are forgiven. But you've got to live a different way of life. And that way of life is walking in the way of the Lord, the commandments of God, the truth of God. For you who were once dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is now made alive with you, having forgiven all your trespasses through baptism. And he has blotted out the note of debt against us with the decrees of our sins. It's like all of our sins are written down. But where is that writing? Right in our minds. All of everything that we've ever done is recorded somewhere in our minds. And you need to have your minds cleansed with the Holy Spirit of God. And when we are that way before baptism, we are dead in our sins. And the New Testament says, the wages of sin is death. So if you're living in sin and living and breaking the commandments of God, you are dead in your sins. That's why you need to understand repentance. Come out of it. Repent to God. Go to God. You repent directly to him. You get on your knees. You pour your heart out to God. You look at the Ten Commandments and compare how you have been living and walking contrary to God and confess those sins, and they will be forgiven. But then you need to be baptized. The true baptism with Christ. Now we have elders who can come to you or you go to them, and they can baptize you with a true baptism. But you need our booklet, The True Meaning of Water Baptism. It is a wonderful thing for you to understand and why it is necessary. And you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? That will give you a start on what you need to do, how you can come to God, how you need to repent. Now that you have the truth that convicts you, and now that you have these things of understanding, that you know what God wants you to do, then you need to come to God and be baptized. And that is a start, a new beginning, a way of living then which will lead to eternal life, and at the return of Jesus Christ, be resurrected from the dead or transformed instantly from flesh to spirit and be like Christ. Also write for the book, Why Were You Born? Because God has a great purpose for your life. And it's scattered throughout the whole Bible, and it's a magnificent, wonderful, awe-inspiring purpose that God has for each one that he calls. And those who repent and are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God. That's what true conversion is all about. Because God has purpose. God has a plan. God wants you to come to him and repent through Jesus Christ. Have your sins blotted out. And then you begin to walk in God's way in newness of life. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So this is Fred Calder. Till next time, saying so long, everyone.